Let's begin with some scripture. Shout out praises to the Lord. Worship the Lord with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we belong to Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you have indeed made us and that we belong to you. And I ask that our responses tonight would be appropriate, that they would be filled with wonder, with glorious praise, and acknowledgement of who you are. Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to this time, and that it would be time well spent in the light of all eternity. Thank you. For your glory, Jesus, we ask this. Amen.
I'm reading from a New International Version Bible, Colossians 3:12-17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And wherever you do, whatever in the world, in a word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thanks, Grace. The list continues. Last week we began to talk about the simplicity of serving God. I was watching a TV show just the other day, and it was about combat vehicles from World War II, and they were saying how the simplicity of the ones the Allied used made them much, much better than the sophisticated ones that the Germans used, because they were over-engineered and you needed an engineer to fix them instead of just some bubblegum and baling wire, like you can do with a Jeep. So, and you know, I thought sometimes we as Christians are pretty much the same. We overcomplicate things that God makes so simple. And we try to weasel our way out of things by redefining, by adding new definitions, by saying, well, it can't really mean this, it must mean this instead. And we just, serving God is really, really simple. We started that list last week. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to continue on. We're not going to get all the way through the rest of the chapter. That'll take us still yet another week after this one. But Romans chapter 12. I'm going to start reading at verse 9. Love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. Do not lag in zeal. Be enthusiastic in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in suffering. Persist in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. consider what is good before all people. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all people. Do not avenge yourselves, dear friends, but give place to God's wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. Rather, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing this, you will be heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pause for prayer and ask the Lord to be our teacher this evening. Father, as we look at these words that you gave to the church at Rome through Paul, I ask that you would be at work in our hearts. I ask that you would give us ears to hear your message to us tonight. And even more so, Father, that you would give us the willingness to obey your word to us tonight. Thank you for your glory, Jesus. Amen. Paul is really just expanding on the start of the chapter. When Paul starts the chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service." It just makes sense, is what Paul is saying. And then he goes on to detail a little bit about what it is that makes sense. Starting in verse 3, he talks about us being one body, many functions, but one body, and how each of us has received a gift from the Spirit, and we are to use that gift to serve one another, to glorify God, but to serve one another. So often we get that kind of confused. We think that God gave us gifts so that we can serve Him. We serve one another with the gift, and we glorify Him by doing that. And then he gets into some nitty-gritty details, and that's the list that we began last week. Oh, it's a big list. It's a long list. It's a tough list, but it's really straightforward and simple. And we don't have to complicate it. Love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. Try to outdo one another in honoring each other. Do not lag in zeal, but be enthusiastic in spirit. Serve the Lord. This is one of the ways that we serve Him, by taking our eyes off ourselves and putting it on to others around us. By stopping being people who take and start being people who give. We're going to pick up this list. If you want more details about those verses, listen to the sermon from last week. It's online. It's on the website. But we're going to pick up in verse 12. And again, guys, these are really, really simple and straightforward. Rejoice in hope.
I don't see very many people showing very much rejoicing this evening.
How many of you have hope? How many of you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Then you have hope! I don't care what you're going through tonight. There is hope in the person of Jesus Christ, not just heaven. Okay, heaven's going to be wonderful and it's going to be amazing and it's going to be finally, oh, finally the body's going to work right like it was originally designed to, like it never has on this side of heaven. Finally, the mind is going to work right. Everything is going to be amazing. Everything is going to be wonderful. But even before that, we have hope in the person of Jesus Christ. We just sang, He walks with me. Do you believe it? Do you experience it? Do you know the person of Jesus Christ? This isn't about knowing about Him. Knowing stuff about Him doesn't mean you know Him at all. I know stuff about a lot of you people, but I don't really know all of you in a deep, personal, intimate relationship. Some I do. I maybe wish I didn't, Jeff. I mean, had to pick on you again. You're just sitting back there like with a target on your... Yeah, Rick, you're not the only target now. And you thought you were going to get away. Jesus wants intimacy with you. He wants communication with you. He wants you. Rejoice in hope. Yes, sometimes life sucks. Sometimes life is horrible. Sometimes relationships break apart. Sometimes bodies break apart. Sometimes our jobs, our finances break apart. All kinds of things. We lose people that we love. There's all kinds of things in this world that go wrong. Yes. But if you're here tonight as one of God's kids, you have the biggest thing going for you. You have the one thing that is going right. And that's the person of Jesus Christ. That's the person of Jesus in your life, walking with you, sitting with you right now. Are you aware of that? He's with you. Whether you like it or not, He's with you. Doesn't matter what you're doing, He's with you. There's never a moment of your life when He isn't with you. If you're here tonight as His child, rejoice in hope because there is hope. See, the ability to rejoice in hope is not denying the reality of the struggles that we face, but it's the willingness and the ability to look past those and see my loving Creator behind them. To see the face of Jesus past all of that. To not be so focused on the here and now and the nasty, but to look past and say, Jesus loves me. I know life is miserable right now, but I know whom I have believed, as Paul said, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed to Him until that day. I am confident of this very thing, he said to the Philippians, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He will do it. There is hope if you're willing to see it. That's where we have a challenge. Rejoice in hope. Endure in suffering. It is what it says it is, guys. Tough it out. Endure with patience. Endure in suffering. Some of that suffering is really straightforward, whether it's, we've mentioned some of those things already, whether it's a body breaking down, relationship, economic, there's all kinds of ways that we suffer. But we also have to willingly acknowledge and realize that the days are coming when we will suffer simply because we are Christians. You've heard me say it before, that it used to be that a Christian was considered a good citizen. Now that's considered an oxymoron, that it's impossible for a good Christian to be a good Canadian. Many, many, many people across this amazing country would believe that. We are coming into days of persecution. Scares me a little bit, yeah. But I know my Jesus. Endure in suffering. Persist in prayer. So rejoicing in hope has to do with our perspective. Enduring in suffering, an attitude check. Am I grumbling, whining, complaining, gritching, everything else about the misery that I'm going through? Or am I enduring with patience? Am I putting the "but God" in there? Life is difficult. This is hard. This hurts. This is nasty. This is breaking my heart. But God. But God. Persist in prayer. Hold fast. Be faithful in. Don't give up praying. Don't give up in your praying. I'm going to throw a challenge out there to you folks. And maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to. I'm going to get up on my soapbox here for a moment and say, we as evangelical Christians do ourselves a disservice by thinking we know how to pray. I want to challenge you guys to start to learn how to pray. Become a student of prayer. How many of you know every possible way to communicate with the people that mean the most to you? You've got it all down. Yeah, well, how come we don't do that about God? There is so much we can learn about prayer and about praying and about God's heart and about how God wants to communicate with you and about how you can communicate with Him. And it's a relationship, folks. The communication possibilities are virtually endless because He is limitless. Persist in prayer. I want to challenge you guys to expand your idea of prayer. If your idea of prayer starts with "Dear Jesus" and ends in "Jesus' name, amen," I want to challenge you to expand that. I want to challenge you to break out of some of that mold and to find that there are ways of prayer, new and old, that can bring you into an intimacy with God that you never dreamed possible. Persist in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Sorry, it is what it says it is. Get them out and be giving out of it. I'm not saying tonight, although if you want to, you're welcome to. It means to contribute financially or materially. Is exactly what it means. There's no getting around it. It says we need to be giving to help supply the needs of the saints. Whew. We got out of that one, didn't we? What's a saint? Who's a saint? They're all dead, right? Did you know that there is one of Paul's letters, one, where he doesn't use the word saint to talk about the Christians that he's writing to? One, and that's the book of Galatians. That's his first one. He was mad when he wrote that book. Oh, he was steaming. If you don't believe it, really look at it. It's his first letter, the letter to the church at Galatia, the letter to the Galatians. He doesn't call them saints there. In every other letter Paul writes, whether it's to individuals, whether it's to churches, saint is one of his favorite words to talk about us, the children of God. We are saints. We are not perfect and holier and everything else. It means set apart. It means we are ones just like the Old Testament sacrifices that are set apart for God. And as such, we are saints. We're not perfect. Far from it. But God has chosen us, which makes us special, which makes us chosen ones, set apart ones, saints, set apart for God Himself and for His glory. Contribute. I guess we didn't get out of it, did we? Contribute to the needs of the saints. Who are the saints? Well, there's about 77 of them in this room here tonight. I counted. 79? 78? We'll compare later. Folks, we are the ones that Paul is talking about. And we are to contribute to the needs of each other. Pursue hospitality. Chase it down. Don't let it go. What does hospitality mean? Well, we have to understand, we have to remember that back in Paul's day when he was writing this, there were no hotels that you could stop at, book ahead, hope to get in online, and have a place to stay and restaurants to go eat at. And when you traveled, you stayed with people. And Paul is telling them, listen, you take care of the brothers and sisters as they travel. You take care of their needs. Welcome them in. Feed them. Give them what they need. Give them friendship. One of the early critics of the church blasted the church with this comment. He said, these are the people that love each other even before they've met. Wow, if only that were said of us today. If only we could be the people that loved each other before we'd even met. Pursue hospitality. In other words, take care of somebody else in the ways that they need that. The previous phrase talks very, very directly about the gifts of stuff. Whether it's money, whether it's whatever, we're providing for their needs. This is giving of yourself. Give of yourself. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who bless you. And curse those who curse you. Right? No? Dang. I'm good at that. Bless those who persecute you. This would be a whole lot easier if I hadn't looked at some of the Greek grammar tucked into that word. It's talking about a habitual action. It's talking about a lifestyle. It's not talking about a singular event. It's not talking about, I did it good today, so I'm off the hook. No, it's talking about habitually blessing those, speaking words of blessing on those who persecute you. On those that seek to do you harm, you seek God's blessing for them. Wow. And not just once in a while. A habitual lifestyle. This is a habit. hard habit to get into. Oof. Especially when you're driving. Watch your words and see what comes out of your mouth. Stupid. Maybe not. Some of you have had the experience of hearing yourself in your kids and going, oops, I didn't ever say that, did I? Whoa. Folks, watch your words. With our words, we bless people. With our words, we ask God's best for the individuals who just cut us off. With our words, we ask for God's best for the people who are being really, really rude and obnoxious in the store. With our words, we ask God for the best of the people that annoy us to no end at Cowboy Church. Hey, I'm not naive enough to know that there ain't some of you in here. Maybe not to me, but. Bless those who persecute you. In a couple of weeks, we're going to really engage with this. But what about our politicians? What about those with agendas that we don't agree with? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's the path that Jesus walked. Let me give you a real practical way to do that, something that I try to do, sometimes fail miserably at. Ask for God's best for them. Because let's be honest, only God knows what they really need. So God, I ask for your best for them. Ultimately, let's be honest, God's best is a connection with Him. Always. But if we started asking God for God's best in the lives of the people that had it in for us, wow, we might see a different world evolving. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That do not curse, by the way, yeah, sorry, that's habitual as well. Watch your words. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Sit with them, be with them, and don't try to fix. You know what? When we try to fix, When someone is weeping, when someone is in distress, and we try to fix them, we are Job's comforters. But when we sit with them and we get down into the dust heap and we put our arms around them and we just are there, that's what Jesus would do. That's what He does for us. I am with you in the midst of anything that you're going through. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Celebrate. Don't be jealous. Don't try to one-up them. We are great at one-upping people. Did you hear? Oh, yeah, I heard. But let me tell you about what happened to me. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Be happy for them. And weep with those who weep. Be with them. be with people in whatever state they are in. We don't have to try to change them. It's not about changing people. You can't. I can't. Only God can. But we can sit with them as they go through some of the worst days of their life, as they go through some of the best days of their life. We can sit with them and share in their joy or in their sorrow. That, once again, is what it means to be serving the Lord. It's to stop being people who look at other people so that I can take from them. What can I get? What can you do for me? We do that at church all the time. But instead, to be people who come with open hands and say, take. I got lots to give because my source is Jesus, the Christ. Let's try to learn to be people who give, not people who take. And let the world see that there is a difference in being a Christian. I'm going to ask you to remain standing as we close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. For the gift of life, for the gift of an example, for the gift of a companion. Father, thank you so much for everything that you have given to us. And Lord, I ask that as we go forward from here, that you would be speaking your words deep into our hearts, and that you would be showing us how we can reflect your glory, how we can be channels of your love, your grace, your connection to those around us. Father, for each one of us here, I ask that you would be at work in our hearts in incredibly practical ways as we think about these words, this list, and what it looks like in our lives. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Set things right. Be encouraged. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.